407-278-5939. You can give us a call. We've got some phone lines open right now. And, you know, we'll talk about pretty much everything, although a lot of questions about resorts today. Don't forget to join us in the chat room. We've got 45 people in there. It's amazing. It's great. Chat room's actually working today, up to 46 now. So come join us in there. And if you don't forget about our webcams, you can watch us right now. Len, how many people are watching you right now?
31.
Ooh, I got you beat. 36, baby.
36.
Oh, 35. Someone just left me to go watch Len.
Damn. I only have 20. I only have 20.
What are you wearing, Matt?
407-278-5939. And don't forget that if you're calling in to unblock your caller ID, some people have their caller IDs blocked by default. And if you're doing that, you need to unblock it. And I really need to write this down. There's some code. It's like star something to do it, and I keep on forgetting. Newell, do you remember what it was?
Was it star 86?
I think so. Maybe star 86. I don't know.
One of us worked for the phone.
Yeah.
We always make the same jokes every single live show. 407-278-5939, and when you call in, you'll be able to talk to Mr. Newell first, who will say hi to you.
Maybe.
if you're nice. He's
in the mood. No, you know Newell is. So, I'm in Future World. We're in Club Cool, Hannah and I. And Hannah said she wanted something to drink, and we actually walked by it the first time, and she wanted to know what it was, and I said it's a place where you can go get free Coke from around the world, so she wanted to try it. So... We walk in and you know, free cups everywhere. And actually, it wasn't that crowded. She tried the watermelon flavored one from I forget which country. They don't list the country on it anymore. But she's like ah, you know, like it was the ginger ale one. She tried. It was the ginger ale, and you know, spit it right out. So then I think well, you know, this would be a great moment that, you know, maybe I'll put on the show. So I get out the digital camera and start taking video of it. So I have this video of me, and I know social services is going to call once they get their hands on it. But it's like, Henny, try this one. And I point to the Beverly, and I'm pointing to it with the camera. Try this one. And she takes a big gulp of it and then looks around like, okay, where's the sink to spit this out? She couldn't do it. She got another cup and spit it out of another cup. And that was the end of that. And she's like, you know what? I could go for a real Coke. I'm like, you're not allowed to drink soda. I know. And then later we went to the emergency room. It was great. It was a great day in Epcot. Nice.
That's when I reported him to social services.
You wanted to try it. I mean, let's face it. Okay, none of the flavors in there are what you would call great, right? It's not like she wanted root beer and I gave her Beverly, right? So, but it means something she'll remember. So it was fun.
Len, during the marathon trip, I was over there with a friend of mine, and was telling her how I used to try to get kids to, you know, come up to me and say, "Hey, Mister, try this, Beverly." And while I was starting that, actually, this little kid came up to me and said, "Hey, Mister, why don't you try Beverly?" And what you do is, if you know that it's going to be bitter, you prepare yourself. So what I did is I said, "Really? I've never tried it before." So I went, "Oh, this." So the kid's like salivating, you know, "Oh boy, with this old man, you know, yo, blah blah blah." So exactly. I guzzled it and I said, "Whoa, that's pretty good." And I had another one, and I had another one, and the kid just kind of fainted. And I kept on saying, please go away, because I don't want to have a fourth one." So,
but, you're drinking it.
You can have some fun.
You're like,
hey, you can really have some fun.
That's awesome. I would have had some and fallen down on the floor. And go,
oh my god! Nice.
Have you done? Yeah, it would have been great. So anyway,
we should mention again that our next live show is going to be July 14th, live from Magic Meets. We'll be on. I think our plan is we're going to be live all day, although we won't be on all day. Newell will be playing music, and then from time to time we'll be breaking in and broadcasting, and then we'll have a set time, which we haven't decided on yet, but we'll post it on the site, and we'll let everyone know what time we're going to have our live show from. So if you're coming to the Magic Meets, you'll definitely want to stop by our table, and we'll put you on over there, and you can come on and talk to us during the live show. And as well, if you're not able to attend, you can call in and talk with us. So it should we're really looking forward to that. That's, again, just in 2 weeks from now. So,
is it 3 weeks?
I thought it was three. Two, I mean.
No, it's three. I hope. Three. I'm not ready yet.
That's right. Scopa's making a speech. Len's got a speech. Newell is not speaking.
More of a discussion. Scopa's more of a speech.
Oh, there you go.
Mine's more an interactive dialogue with the audience, my friends.
Yeah, Len, what are you going
Scope
to
is going to be up on the podium. I'm going to be like, hey, I wonder what Dave Marks is doing. Yeah, let's go see. I do plan on actually starting my speech with Mangello, everyone. Mangello.
Nice. And we should also mention that Annette Owens will be making a speech also, and hopefully she won't fall this time when she makes her speech.
She fell
last year.
That's because she was on the helium.
Really?
How did that happen? Yeah, that's right. She was high on helium.
She felt like there was helium involved. Awesome.
Yeah.
she deserved thanks, guys.
yeah, she's about to ream us right now. 407.
As well, we can't forget Deb Wills is in the chat room, and Deb will be also making a presentation at the that's Magic right. Meets. I'm looking to see if there's anybody else in the. Nope, that's it.
Yeah. Well, Lou will be making a speech. He's not in the chat room, so don't go to his.
Oh,
Lou. He's not.
Oh, Lou.
407.
You know, when we all get up to do our talks, we shall introduce ourselves as Lou Mangello.
Hi, I'm Lou Mangello. Hi, I'm Lou Mangello.
Hi, I'm Lou
Mangello. Nice. It'll be like George Foreman's kids.
George, and George.
407-278-5939.
Oh,
Lou. Nice, Newell.
That sounded like soundboard Deb.
You've said in a long time. Wait, where's your webcam at again?
407-278-5939. The phone lines are open, so if you're interested in giving us a call, you know, you don't like, we've had some callers who just called in to say hi, and that's perfectly all right. Nothing wrong with that. Don't forget to join us in the chat room. It's really, we mentioned some of the people that are in there. I mean, Becky from MEI Mouse Mind Travels in there. Annette Owens is in there. Deb is in there. My boy Jeff from Orange, West Haven. I know he's in Connecticut. Some other people, lots of other people. A lot of our regulars and the not-so-regulars are in the chat room. So come on in. Join us. Talk with us.
Our irregulars.
Our irregulars. A lot of first-timers. I can definitely tell by some of the names in there. So give us a call, and you know, one of the things that we've been talking about lately has been FastPass, the changes or perceived changes that might be coming to Walt Disney World in terms of, you know, is it going to change? Are we going to have some sort of elite FastPass for the deluxe guests or something like that? And you know, if you want to talk to us about what your thoughts are on the new FastPass system, or perhaps the what you think they should do with the FastPass system, let us know. Some people are very adamant about it, what they feel about the FastPass system. Some people think, well, you know, it's fine the way it is. Some people hate FastPass; they think it was better. We were better off pre-FastPass. I never understood that rationale personally. I always thought that. I think it's always the people who think that are the people that are in the standby line and see all those FastPass people blowing by them. But that's just personal opinion. I don't know. What do you think, Len? If it was up to you, what would you do?
About what?
FastPass.
Okay. So, I mean, I kind of like it. I know this is going to be controversial. I really like the idea of if you stay at a better resort, you get more FastPass perks. I really like that idea.
All right. The Scrooge McDuck theory.
Well, okay. Let's put it this way. If you're staying at a Disney resort, you should get more perks. So I like the idea of being able to get, even if it's something simple like multiple fast passes at once, you know, or you have a shorter time window than everyone else.
I support that. I mean, it's along the same line as if you're an annual pass holder, you should get more perks.
407-278-5939, and phone lines are wide open, so you can give us a call. Which actually, Scopa, we've got 51 people in the chat right now, which is great.
No, we don't.
We don't? I see 51.
I see 52.
Oh. 52.
And we just, Masayo from Japan just signed in. Where it's 10 o'clock in the morning.
Konnichiwa.
On Monday the 20th.
It's 10 o'clock tomorrow morning in Japan. Yep.
Awesome.
So we have an international chat going on right now.
That's great. That's good to hear. 407-278-5939. It's just a little after 9 o'clock right now, so we've got hour one is complete, and we're going to moving on to hour number two.
So now that it's hour two, can we give our little thing for MouseFest?
Yeah, go ahead.
Boy, Len's just chomping at the bit. Go ahead, Len.
I'm just saying. All right, so here's the deal. At on Friday, which I think is December 7th, there's a Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party at the Magic Kingdom. At 5.05 p.m., I've made reservations for 22 at Ohana. And so we're thinking about having our listeners meet us there for dinner. So it'll be Mike and Matt and Len, perhaps our significant others. But there's still plenty of room for people. So, Matt, how do you want to do this? Do you want to send an email? Have them send an email?
Yeah, well,
why they should come to be at 10.
We
definitely got room for those.
Yeah, let's discuss it right after we answer this call from Ann from Texas. Ann, you're on.
Hi. I'm just wondering if anyone of y'all have ever been to the Pirate and Princess Party and if you thought it was worth the money, because it seems really expensive. I'm just trying to get the cost value out of it. Do you feel like you get your money's worth at it?
I went there. Has anyone else been there?
I went to two in March.
Not yet.
Yeah. We were there. I mean, I thought the best benefit of it, and when I went in early March, was that there was just no one there because the crowds were slow. And I think that was more of a product of the time of the year more than anything else. I said that but after the event, I thought it was a great event because there were so few people there, so you could do pretty much anything you wanted to do. But if they had filled the event to capacity and then you went back to the same event, I'm not sure it was really worth it. The best thing was being able to meet Jack Sparrow. But aside from that, I wasn't really. I was kind of underwhelmed by the event. What did you think, Len?
I liked it because it wasn't very crowded, so you could definitely get on a lot of attractions very, very quickly. I think the fireworks were very good. I liked the pirates soundtrack. So seeing the fireworks in the parade, I think were pretty interesting. I mean, for the thing that I got the most out of though was really there were so few people there in March that we didn't have more than a 5-minute wait for anything. It's really a great way to have a lot of the park to yourself.
Yeah, okay, they're starting up again in August, right?
Yep.
Yeah, we were going to go to one in August.
But
I think later, early August, it might be still might be crowded. Late August.
No, it's late August. It's like the 21st or something like that.
Well, I'll be there for that.
So how many days are you going?
How many days? We're going 9 days.
9 days, okay. I mean, you'll probably have your fill of the Magic Kingdom. So if it comes down to cost, if cost is the only is your main criterion, then mm-hmm. I wouldn't do it because you're going to have plenty of time in the Magic Kingdom and you'll have plenty of time at night in the Magic Kingdom. Where are you staying? On-site or off-site?
On-site. Animal Kingdom.
Ah, so you'll have evening extra magic hours. You know what? I would probably say then it's probably not worth the money.
Well, that's good to know because we're trying to... I've never been to the Very Scary or the Christmas Party or anything like that. So this is our first, event. And it's hard to tell from the information that they give you on the website to make a good concrete decision. So I think there should really be some good hashing of it in the unofficial guide.
There you go, Len.
There's the 2008 edition. Okay, so. Thank you.
One more thing.
All right, so, good.
I'm wondering, and we always have this quandary. We've been using the unofficial guide since it first came out, so we're like veteran unofficial guide users. And before it even had a clip-out touring plan in the back, we used to cut it out of the book and paste it onto a sheet of paper so we could take it with us. It was laminate with contact paper. It was vintage. But we really go back and forth with the don't do the early entry park because for us, and I don't know if this is just a coincidence, it works. I mean, when we do the early Magic Hour park and we're there 45 minutes prior to opening, we can get through all the major, step one through about 7 by 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock in the morning.
That's the thing. I mean, if you can do it, it's great. I would say that later on in the afternoon, the park is going to be more crowded than it normally would.
That's right.
So if you're going to leave around lunchtime or so. But yeah, I mean, I think morning extra magic hours are better than evening extra magic hours, especially during summer, because you can get more done. For the same amount of effort. So I would definitely do it. I mean, I think we actually say this in the new edition. For the last couple of years, we've actually said this in the book where we explain the extra magic hours. that this is one of the right. strategies to use, is to go and to go to morning extra magic hour till about, you know, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock or whatever, then bail out to another park.
Right. Yeah, well, we usually bail out to the hotel, and our theory is we go to the hotel at noon, have lunch, swim, come mm-hmm. back, and then all the people who did extra magic hour in the morning are done, and they're trying to get out of there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good strategy.
Last one more thing, because I'm not going to hug up your time. We got reservations for everything except for the Le Cellar, is that what it is, in Canada? And it's been packed. I've been calling, can't get in. What do you think the odds are of walking in and trying to just get a walk in at like 4 o'clock? Reasonable, insane.
Mike Scopa himself could not get in there by walking in. There's no way.
Really?
Actually, I tried this last week. They've actually got plastic signs, like printed professional plastic signs out in front of World Showcase now that say something like, in order to serve our guests with existing reservations, we're not accepting walk-ups at this time. They don't staff people in the on the outside, right. you know, where they have walk-ups. They don't staff them anymore.
Wow.
It's just almost...
Okay, so let's put this way. Fast, fast.
The land. Sunshine season. I called 172 days out to try and get reservations for Mouse Fest for La Celia, and it was completely booked except for 9 p.m., and even then I would have to split my group up into two tables.
Is this something, a new phenomenon? Because we've never had a problem with this. Did they get, like, a new chef, or...
It's a stupid podcast.
It's a stupid podcast making it popular. It's a couple of things.
What time?
I'm sure Scopa knows. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask Jamie, when are you actually going down?
November.
That's during Food and Wine. Okay. Yeah, I think that what we're seeing here is a phenomenon that starts when free dining begins and when and December ends, because I think that you've got free dining and then you have Food and Wine, which draws the crowds and everybody goes down there for that. And then you've got the Thanksgiving season, and then you've got the Christmas season. And I think that's going to be the way it is from now on. So from late August through the end of the year, I think it's going to be very difficult to get an ADR at La Cellier unless you're an early bird on the phone. I think that's the way it's going to be.
Right. So yeah, I mean, just go one early. We did 140 days in advance, but I think maybe there needs to be some sort of strategy, like the dialing for Cinderella's Castle for La Cellier. Y'all need to figure out a super hidden plan.
Say this in the next, we say it in the next edition of the book. In fact, we specifically mention La Cellier. Here's the thing. Wow. It's not only La Cellier, though. Everywhere we went in World Showcase, with the exception of China, they had the same signs out, and they're printed on, again, it's not like it's a handmade sign. Somebody made a decision to say, this is the way it's going to be for the foreseeable future. We might as well make, you know, waterproof signs, because these things are going to be around for a while. You might want to try lunch just in case, but I don't know if you're going to get all the way over to Canada by lunch.
Yeah, probably I remember when you had this little telescreen in the bottom of Spaceship Earth, and you'd go up to the
remember
Spaceship
that?
Earth.
I use that.
World
key.
And, hi, can you see me? Yes, I can see you. That was so great. I loved that.
We forget this, though. If we would have gone back then, and we would have said, one day you're going to carry around a little phone. It's going to be smaller than your wallet, and you'll be able to call anyone in the world using just this little phone. You'd have been like, whoa, that's so cool.
Yeah,
so I mean, the communicore screens went away, but you know, we got cell phones. That's a good trade-off.
I think the cell phone was probably in Inventions, and you know, everyone looked at it and thought, "No way!"
it was like the size of a brick. Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah. Bye.
Brick phone.
Well, thanks for calling in, Anna. We appreciate your call.
Okay. See you later. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Well, we've got another caller. It's Jamie from Texas. Hi, Jamie. Or not Texas, Rhode Island. Sorry.
Texas, Rhode Island. I mean, they're roughly equivalent in terms of size.
Yeah, well, yeah.
They're exactly the same size. I had a quick question.
Yeah.
Going to be coming now for Mickey's Not So Scary. And I haven't been able to think of, if we're not going to be doing Magic Kingdom during the day and just coming for the party, but we want to go for dinner, what is the earliest that we can get into the park with our not so scary ticket?
Scopa would know.
Want me to take
I think it's like.
I've heard 4:30. I've heard an hour before the start of the party. I'm just not really clear, and we want to try to get in as early as possible without using like regular passes.
I believe it's 4:00.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I think you're right, Matt. 4:30.
Yeah, 4:00.
And the party starts. Is it 7:00?
Is it 7 or 7:30? I don't remember.
I think it's 7, and I'm thinking more. It's going to be more along the line of maybe 6:00 that they would allow guests in. I'm thinking 6, but that would be a question that Jamie, when you get down there, you know, to ask right away, so that you know you're not caught flat-footed on the day of the party. I would check, and if we get a chance, some of us will check for you.
Enough people in the chat are saying 4:30 that. Thinking they might have something.
Really?
Yeah. No, I'm pretty sure it's 4:00.
Oh, really?
Okay. All right, so, I mean, do they wristband you for these?
For what?
Well, actually, you know, they might be right, because it's at 4:00 that they start handing out the wristbands, I believe.
Yeah, so I think as long as you get the wristband, you're cool.
Yeah. Jamie, sorry. Will you be visiting another park during the day?
That's going to be kind of like a... We've got, because of the kids, we've got the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique and some other stuff going out at Downtown Disney in the afternoon. And then would be that we would come to the park, have dinner, and be done with it by the time the party really gets started.
Okay.
And I think we've got something booked for like around 5 or 5:30. I just wanted to get your take on whether you think that's going to fly.
I think you'd be fine, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
I don't see why not. I hope that you've booked already.
All right. Well, yeah, we've got that, and then we've got, I think, something else at Downtown Disney if we find out that, you know, there's no way we can get let in or something. So I think we'll be cool, but we definitely wanted to get to the park, so that's why.
The 5:00 should be fine, Jamie. I think you'll be all set.
Very good. Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks, Jamie.
Cool. Thanks.
Next caller on the line is Dean in Virginia. Let's get Dean on here. Dean, my man.
Hi there.
How are you? Outstanding.
Love that outstanding. This is Dean from Leesburg, Virginia.
What can we do for you tonight, Dean?
I just barely got on. It took me a little while to... I had to change the settings on my... Live 365 to get through, and I just got in. So has the rest of the show been going well?
It stinks, actually.
It's not that bad.
I don't buy that. I'll buy it for a second. I've got a couple questions for you.
All right.
If I may.
Go ahead.
We're going down in August, last week of August, to Labor Day for the free dining. This is the first time we're going to be doing free dining. It's the first time we're going down that time of year as well. So I'm a little bit nervous about the heat and coping with that. But my other question is, as a faithful member, of course, of touringplans.com, I've looked at the crowd calendar, and it looks like everything's going to be fine from a crowd standpoint, but I'm wondering, given free dining, when that came on, Len, are you going to make any adjustments, or do you anticipate that it's going to be adjusted up for the crowd calendar, or do you think it's going to stay the same?
So for free dining, my understanding is that Disney's booking something like 110,000 extra room nights because of the... I'm sorry, a total of 110,000 room nights during August and September. If you break that down, though, into how many incremental people are going to actually be in the parks, I don't think it's enough of a impact to actually adjust the crowd counter. So I'm sticking with it the way it is right now. The thing that we're going to see is if Disney starts altering the park hours for free dining. That's going to be the key. If they do that, then you know something's up. But for now, no, we're not going to change the crowd counter.
All right. Okay. That's good to know. So I guess the main thing is just trying to beat the heat and not melt while we're down there, but.
Yeah, you definitely want to stay really hydrated. You want to get water, a lot of water.
A lot of Beverly.
And if you can, you know.
We kind of know the drill. We've been down there a bunch of times, and our kids are pretty pretty good at, you know, doing the whole commando touring thing right down to the two-year-old. She does pretty well. This will be her third time going. But, the other question I had, though, regarding the two-year-old, we're debating whether or not to take down our stroller as we've usually done in the past. But it's kind of bulky, and it's just a pain to lug on and off the tram at Magic Kingdom and other things like that. So we were thinking of maybe getting just one of the double strollers and putting her in there, and then our seven-year-old, when her feet get tired, she can ride as well. But do any of you happen to know off the top of your head, or maybe if you don't know, one of the other listeners might be able to call in and give me an answer, how do the little straps work in the strollers? Are they individual, so there's two for two kids in the double, or is it one big strap that loops over both of them?
I'm pretty sure it's individual for each one.
That's kind of a random question.
Yeah, I'm almost positive it's two.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's one strap per section, so two straps total. Because not everybody uses some. I mean, you know, if one kid's on the thing, you don't, you know. But it's two straps. I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
Okay, that'll be key for our two-year-old. She's somewhat of a Houdini, and we don't want to have her slip out from under and disappear in the crowds or something.
Yeah, now the Annette Owens, the world expert on all things babies, has mentioned that it's two straps in the chat room, so.
Okay.
All right.
Well, great. Well, I'll try and hop on and join you guys in the chat, and thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Hey, sounds great. Dean, thanks.
Cool. Are any of you going down by any chance in that same time frame?
What time frame was that?
I'm heading down.
August 26th to Labor Day?
Nope, not me.
Not me. Sorry.
I'll be down in July and October. Although, you know,
I wanted to try and make it to Pennsylvania to maybe see you guys at Magic Meets, but I didn't get registered in time, and I emailed Fred begging him to see if I might be able to. They might put one person standing room, but I haven't heard back, so I'm going to take that as a no.
No, that's going to be a no, unfortunately. Well, thanks for calling.
No, very
thanks for calling in.
Thanks a lot. Have a good evening.
Bye-bye. Next phone call. I think our listeners are going to know who it is. Just a thought here on who this is. Mystery caller.
Will you sign in, please?
Are you there, mystery caller?
Yes, I am.
I think it's
we'll call her Venus.
Deeb Willis. Is that who this is?
Deeb.
Deeb?
Am I on the line now?
You're on the line. You're online. You're on the air.
I have a question for Michael Scopa.
We don't take those here.
Yes, Deeb. What would you? What would you? Yes, Steve, can I help you?
Michael, what is your favorite place to eat in Canada?
My favorite place to eat in Canada is...
What time is a 3 p.m. parade?
Am I on the clock with this? Let's see. I think that the best place to eat in Canada is a restaurant.
A restaurant?
So
what kind of restaurant?
A restaurant. Well, let me see. There was one that was mentioned earlier on the show. I forget what was called La Cellier, whatever. But from what I understand, there are these plastic cards in front of the restaurant now. And so it makes it even more difficult to eat there. So, you know, plastic can be very powerful. I'll tell you what, the next
Mike Scopa sent me.
Just ask for Mary, and Mary will get you in.
Ask for Mary.
Tell her I sent. Okay. While you're on the phone, just ask for Mary and say Mike sent you. Okay. Now that's just
Mary
between you and me.
Okay.
Mary, well, Mary's
no one
still
else
working.
Can do that. Okay.
No one else. Now. We're going to keep this just between you and me. Nobody else knows this. We're not telling anybody.
I'm a friend of Mike Scopa.
Well, I know you said something earlier, but I have to say hi to my friend Masayo, who's listening from Japan. Konnichiwa.
Yes. Konnichiwa.
Good morning there.
Yeah, it's great to have international calls. If Masayo wants to call in, that'd be awesome. That would break the record. The current record, Deb, is we had a caller from New Zealand about two shows ago.
Oh, wow.
So if we get, I think Japan will beat that.
I think it will.
All right.
So are you guys all excited and ready for Magic Meets?
Oh, we can't. I know I can't wait. Really looking forward to it. It was great last year. And of course, we get to see you over there, Deb. And you, it's a little bit easier to get to see you, Deb, over there, because you don't have quite the swarm that you have at MouseFest.
Hopefully not.
It's.
I can give you all a sneak peek on my talk. I plan to be talking about. I'm sure this will come as a great surprise to folks. The Disney Cruise Line for adults.
Are you sure that you are experienced enough to talk about that, Deb?
I don't know. I don't know.
We'll have to wait and see.
About as experienced as you are recommending place to dine in Canada, Mike.
You got that right. I'm sure that there will not be enough seats in that room to take care of everyone who wants to hear you speak, Deb. And I'm just thankful that I won't be talking when you're talking, so I can see you talking.
I know. It's really tough because there's four talks going on at the same time. These are the breakout rooms for folks who aren't familiar with it. There's two main speakers in the main ballroom that will talk to all 500 people, and then there's several breakout sessions, and four simultaneously. And so it's really hard for the speakers and for the folks if you want to see this person or that person. I think most of us are just giving one of each of the talks that day.
Right.
But it's a lot of fun. For those of you who are going, please come over and introduce yourself. And, of course, go see the guys at Walt Disney World today. I think maybe we need a female broadcaster on Walt Disney World today. Maybe that's something they
We've talked about that, actually.
As they say in Norway at the Maelstrom, you are not the first to say that.
I mean, as much as we've been calling Angelina Jolie, she's not returned any of our calls, so I don't know what's going on. I know.
Paris Hilton.
Where's Christina been, Len?
She moved to Washington, D.C., actually. She's in Rock Hill.
She's where?
But we just got our PC. Rock Hill, Maryland.
Really? That's real close to where I work. Well, when I'm not working in Florida or on the Disney cruise ship.
All right, yeah.
Disney Adventure thing. So she just got a laptop last week, and we're trying to get her hooked up to. She bought a microphone. I think Matt gave her advice on the microphone.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll have her on the show.
All right. Well, I don't want to tie up your line. Just wanted to call and say hi. I'll see you guys all in a couple weeks, and ciao to everybody else.
Great. Well, thanks for calling in, Deb.
Thanks, Deb.
Seth.
Bye.
407-278-5939. You can give us a call. And we've got a next caller. It appears to be Josh from Georgia. Josh, welcome to the show.
You're joshing me.
Oh, God. Welcome to the show, Josh.
He's a
thanks.
Peach.
Hey, guys.
Georgia Peach.
Hey, Josh.
What
Josh.
Can we do for you tonight?
Well, I just first wanted to say thanks to Mike Scope about... 4 months ago, he inspired me to take up running, and I'll be running the half marathon in January. So,
all right,
awesome. Well, thank you for that.
Thank you.
My question is that in September, we'll be going for free dining, and I've been looking at the crowd calendar on touringplans.com and trying to figure out crowds, and I was wondering if you guys have noticed any difference in the crowds for attractions during free dining because of so many people being sitting in the restaurants.
Josh, I can tell you that I've been down there the last 2 years when they've had free dining, and I think it's quite the opposite. I'll tell you why.
Really?
There are it's somewhat connected to what Len was talking about earlier. Last year I went down during free dining, and I noticed that there were not that many people walking up to the restaurants trying to get an ADR. And I can remember going up to Le Cellier. We were always talking about Le Cellier and asking them. I wanted to see if I could get an extra, a luncheon in, and because I had already scheduled a meal. And they said, no, we're pretty much booked for the next 2 or 3 weeks. So my guess is that because of free dining and because of all the restaurants being booked pretty solid, then those people who would normally be in line for trying to get a walk-up reservation are now in line, are in another line, and that line is a queue line for an attraction.
Now, obviously, there will be some people who will say, well, I'll just go to some quick service restaurant and eat. But there's going to be a certain portion of people who are going to be saying, well, I'm just going to, you know, go to the attraction. So I'm thinking that the free dining has somewhat impacted the queue lines. Not a great deal, but enough that I noticed it last year. Last August it was. Len, have you heard anything?
Len, do y'all take that into account?
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at, for the credit calendar, we're looking at a little bit higher level thing than that. We're looking at things like resort occupancy rates, which we have for both Disney and non-Disney resorts. We're looking at things like park hours, things like that. Those are really the best indicators of how busy the attractions are going to be. Dining sort of kind of plays into it, but not as much as you would think.
Smart,
I mean, the big thing that's going to drive whether it's crowded is really public school calendar. That early in the school year, not many people are going to take their kids out of school just to get some free food. It's just not going to happen. If they're going to go, they're going to go either in August earlier, when they don't have to worry about, you know, things like the No Child Left Behind Act or whatever, or they're going to wait till Christmas and go. It's not really going to be that big of an impact, really.
When are you going, Josh?
Cool. Thanks. We are going to be there. It's the Wednesday before Labor Day, and we're going for a 10-day trip. So I guess the Friday after Labor Day.
Yeah, I think Len's right.
Yeah, I mean, it really, it's going to come down to public school. No one's thinking free food's sort of a secondary benefit. Public school calendars are going to drive attendance.
Yeah, we don't mind taking our kids out. Well, I love the show. Never miss an episode. So thanks, guys, for what you do.
Well, thanks for calling in. We appreciate
it. Thanks,
Josh. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Almost hung up on Len there. Oops.
Oopsie. Oopsie.